You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Series 7, Episode 9 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley back once again. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound lighting and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. We're going to have Tim Clancy and Dara Doyle interviews with those two men on the show in a little while. We're going to review what happened over the bank holiday weekend in both the Premier and First Divisions, and we'll look ahead to this weekend's games as well. Gary, great to have you on, and I have to say, your fan club growing by the week. I was in Drogheda last night for the game against Pats, popped into the pub next door to Weavers Park for a quick pint before the game, bumped into a group of Pats fans, and they all wanted to know where Gary Riley was. They said, Gary Riley is gas, love listening to him on the podcast. So your fan club growing by the week, lad.
Great stuff, great to see, especially with Pats fans, because I had to dig them out a few times in recent weeks, but I think some Pats fan tweeted me yesterday saying that Chris Forrester definitely listens to the podcast. And did he get two or three goals last night, did he?
Two last night, ran the game, unbelievable performance. But at the same time, I thought he was let run the game too. I was surprised Drogheda didn't get tighter to him. But when you let a player like that play, he punishes you. And he definitely did that last night. Another thing as well, Gary, we had a tweet from a couple of listeners actually. They never knew about muted words on Twitter until you mentioned it a few weeks ago on the show. And I believe you've got another topic added to the list today as well.
I do?
On your muted words.
Oh, I did, yeah. I had to mute Wrexham. I couldn't be dealing with it. My God, like Wrexham could, you know, as a place could explode and I wouldn't know about it from Twitter anyway, thank God. Jesus Christ, who cares?
I was telling you this story before, but I work with a staunch Liverpool fan. Well, he's staunch when they're winning anyway. And he's big into Wrexham now. You know, he watched the documentary. I think he might have bought a Wrexham jersey. And all I hear every day is about Paul Mullen and all this. I
was like, who's Paul Mullen?
He's the main striker. He's got 30-something goals this season. But what I was going to say, I said to him one day, I said, I've been to Wrexham, lad. Like, it's a bit of a dive, you know. That was part of the appeal of the documentary. You know, it's Wrexham is from a town that struggled economically and all the rest. I was like, you're from the dock, lad. You don't need to, you know, Oriel Park's down the road. If you want to go to a ground that's falling down, like, you know, because there's one end of the racecourse ground in Wrexham that's totally condemned. I stood outside it before when me and John went over to Wales for a match, and there's one end of it just like totally wrote off. They're actually rebuilding it now, but. I was saying to him, if you want to support, you know, if you want to get behind a team from a small town that's had its troubles, you're 2 minutes away from Oriel Park, lad. But no, Liverpool and Wrexham loyal. But
it's only good if you can sit in the living room and watch it on the telly and tweet about it.
So. Look, we were certainly out and about at games. You were at a game Friday. Where were you? The game was that bad Friday, lad. I'd forgotten about it already. Yeah. We'll come to Treaty Longford later, but we were there Friday.
We will.
And then I know you were watching a couple of games last night on LOI TV, and I was over in Drogheda. So what we'll do, we'll look at the Friday and Monday results. We'll kind of just talk generally about what happened. We're not going to go through every game because we met a lot of listeners down in Limerick, didn't we, at the game the other night. And one thing a lot of them said was...
And we had a few chants from the home support as well.
Cup final for them, lad. Cup final. But a lot of people said, I'm halfway through. I do realise that last week was a very long podcast, so we're going to try our best. I know the intro is already 3.5-4 minutes long here, but we're going to try our best to hour and a half, hour 45 tonight. So we'll talk generally about what happened across the bank holiday. But just to fly through the Friday results, Pats 4, Cork 0. UCD Shells 0. I was reading today that Duffer had to apologise to his wife because he said that he, for one of the first times in his career, he let a result, he brought it home with him and he was sulky for the whole day. And he had to pull the wife aside and say, look, I'm sulky because we were crap.
Pull the wife aside?
We were crap against UCD last night. So that was the main taking point from that game. Dundalk 1, Sligo 2. Bowes 0, Rovers 2 in the derby. And Derry 0, Drogheda 1. What a result for the Drogs. Then last night, Derry beaten again. Consecutive home defeats for Derry. They lost to Bowes. Cork beat Dundalk in an absolutely dour game of football. Sligo, they couldn't back up their win against Dundalk. Their up and down start continues. A very important win for Shells there. Rovers 3, UCD 0. That's 3 on the bounce for Rovers. And Pats 3, 1 winners in draw of the game I was at. But let's start and talk about Derry, Gary, because back-to-back home defeats for them. You've kind of raised issues about Derry on the pod in recent weeks. You know, again, if you look at the stats from the last couple of games, I think 64 and 70-something percent possession. Nothing from it.
Yeah, useless. Absolutely dire. And, you know, even they beat UCD 4-0 and I thought they were still a bit, you know, boring and, you know, playing in first gear and it wasn't really, really good enough. And I know it's easy to say, you know, I was talking to a Derry fan at that game, it's like, sure, you know, 1-4-0 and comfortable, blah, 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 but you're going to get sterner tests than what they got against UCD. And it's performances like this, you know, people are making a lot about the pitch.
I was just going to, that's going to be my next thing. The pitch is crap,
but just to preempt what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And well, I haven't a clue what you're going to say, but just to get my point in first, they're playing it 18 games a season. They played in 18 games, maybe 20 games in cups and stuff like that.
They train on it as well.
What more do they want?
Yeah.
You know,
there's no doubt.
The pitch excuse is just simply an excuse.
Yeah, there's no doubt the pitch is holding them back. I think the cup final last year showed it. Give them a good surface and they really hurt teams. The pitch is holding them back, there's no doubt. But at the same time, Dundalk won 4 of 5 titles on a probably an even worse pitch.
Yes.
You know, it can't be an excuse with the squad you have. And I know there's a suggestion that a lot of the injuries they have now is maybe because of the pitch. But they've still got a tremendous squad. I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head in recent weeks. It's the approach to games at the moment that is costing Derry points. Too much emphasis on possession and not enough emphasis on getting that ball up into the final third quick enough.
Yeah, too much emphasis on pricking. That's all they seem to be at. And it's really starting to damage them. The early pace setting that they did, you know, they're what, a bag of points off Bowes, who beat them last night as well. And, you know, now Rovers are third. And, you know, you mentioned it on Twitter this week, like, I used to call them the Terminator because that's what they are.
Yeah.
They just don't stop coming. They just keep coming and relentless about it. And, you know, they've won the Dublin Derby. They beat Dundalk, was it 4-1 or 4-0 or whatever it was. They beat UCD comfortably enough, as we all expected. And, you know, the 3 from 3, the first part of the season is almost forgotten. They've just breezed past teams. Both in the table and on the pitch, so it's now Derry are in a well, Jesus, now we're look where we are and we're not as far ahead as what we expected and we're playing really bad and we've 8 billion passes though and we've 80% possession or 70% possession but we're doing still nothing with it. And you know that's been a feature of their approach to games and their style and tactics in plenty of games that they've won. I suppose the only real game that they had, I suppose it was the Talla game. Yeah, when
you were at that game, and you were one of the only people that wasn't impressed with Derry that night.
Yeah, because they were dire in the first half. They were dire, and I don't care what anybody says. And I said it at the time, people tweeting, oh, what a game of football, two football insights and football, and all the football being played. It's like, what are you looking at? The only team playing football, that particularly in the first half, was Shamrock Rovers. With two centre midfielders in the back four. Would you go way out of playing football? I don't know what game people were talking about. I know I'm, you know, miserable and all the rest of it, but it's just not real.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they've serious issues. Not serious, but like, they need to get a cop themselves on.
And this isn't an issue that's only started today or yesterday. This is something we've been mentioning about Derry for probably the last year, really. I remember we had conversations like this on the pod last year about Derry as well. All this possession and not doing enough with it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And I think, you know, and that's what I referenced the GA last weekend or last week's podcast or whatever weekend it was. There's so much passing, so much recycling that no one actually takes ownership and responsibility to go and actually do something.
As you said last week, it's a bigger fear now to lose the ball than there is kind of
trying to score.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that seems to have crept in and is now an issue in the side, and particularly with Derry. It's the same in a number of sides, but I think with Derry, because there's so much expected of them, the players that they've brought in, the investment that has been put in, and this is their return, you know, and probably in a similar way to Sligo. I don't see the team on the pitch given a return for the investment and the for Rory around the side this season. So I think Rory has a big job on his hands. Probably not great that Alan Reynolds has left, although that could be a good thing. Free him up to make a bigger change. Has Alan Reynolds been replaced, actually?
Not yet. Little talk about it. I haven't really... You asked me last week, usually you'd hear names. Haven't really heard anyone's
neither
name.
Neither have I, and that needs to be resolved sooner rather than later.
Well, I said it last week. We're free, Rory. Give us a buzz. Just a quick word on Bowes, Gaz. Obviously disappointing for them to lose the derby on Friday night. I think all Bowes fans admitted they were just totally not at that night. Rovers were the better team, could have won it by more. So for them to bounce back the way they did, and they made a number of changes. Flores was on the bench, McDade, Afolabi, Novak was on the bench. So he made a number of changes, Declan Devine. I think nobody probably would have given them a chance when they seen the team that was named. But a back-to-the-wall performance. I think they only had something like 23% possession. Just goes to show you don't need all of the ball all the time to go and win games.
No, certainly not. I think there was a lot of talk about the penalty incident just before Derry or Bowes were awarded a penalty. I actually think the ref got it fairly spot on. I thought the Bowes one was more of a penalty, more checked them, whereas it was probably a bit. Could the ref, have you seen it?
No, I'm talking about? No, I haven't seen it yet.
Too busy. I think there was talk about it being a penalty for Derry. I think it was Horton that
kind of... I've seen Rory Higgins' comments. He was furious, but I've seen a lot of the replies. People were brushing it aside, really. I don't think they were in agreement with him.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with them rather than Rory, unfortunately. I don't think, you know, there is a bit of a shout there, but it's not something that I'd be wanting to be leading my post-game conversation with, to be quite honest. So, well done to Bowes. You know, I expected them to lose against Rovers, to be quite honest.
You did.
And not sure if I would have expected them to beat Derry. I thought they might have drawn, but they did very well. But I don't think Derry are... They're not firing at all, so I think it's not an unexpected result last night for Bowes, and fair play to them for that.
Cork 1, Dundalk 0. I was travelling over to Drogheda for the game last night, so I missed the first half, but I was listening to it on the radio and it sounded like Dundalk were just all over the shop at the back. I've seen it back half. I watched the first half back today. They just couldn't deal with the... Credit to Cork, they made the use of the conditions, very gusty conditions. They got lots of long throws in there, lots of crosses and direct balls into the area. But it actually wasn't one of those in the end that cost Dundalk. It was Dundalk overplaying at the back. And it's something that they've been guilty of, not only this season, chunks of last season as well. We've seen them give away goals like this. Dreadful goal to concede. Look, there's a little bit of bad luck in the way Shepherd loses his footing. There's still no guarantee he was going to save it, though. When the conditions are like that, I suppose you shouldn't be overplaying the way Dundalk were caught out.
No, I think so, and this probably goes down to a bit of, is this probably arrogance maybe, or maybe not arrogance.
I think we've spoken about before, they have one way of playing and that's it, they won't shift from that.
Yeah, and that's it, but I think obviously it's very hard to recover when you've, you know, I think Boyle was playing anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, he made a couple of good blocks in the first half.
It's hard to...
I've only covered the first half there with Dundalk. Yeah. Second half, I watched the second half in the pub. It was on, every telly in the pub had it on in Drogheda, which was, I thought, was fantastic. There was one replay shown in the second half that I seen, Gary. That's because absolutely nothing happened for either team. It's one of the most boring second halves of football I've ever seen. That was grand for Cork. They didn't need, they had the advantage. You know, it was on Dundalk to come at them and try and turn it around. Dundalk could have been there till today. They wouldn't have scored. It was an absolutely dreadful performance. So flat.
Yeah, shocking, wasn't it? Nothing in the game. I don't think, did they really create many chances? I can't really remember.
Dundalk didn't have a shot on target,
didn't they?
Not a single shot on target. The only replay in the second half that I seen was, I think it was Tulloch that had a shot from range, it flashed a good 3 or 4 foot wide. Like, that was it.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. I think it's a bit. I'm struggling to see where they're going.
I'm surprised they lost the game. I was talking to people at work that would have an interest in it, and they said, "Oh, Dundalk will lose tonight." I said, I don't think so. Cork aren't great. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they didn't win the game, Dundalk. I'm surprised they went down there and lost. Okay. But for me, Dundalk, I've said it really all season. I think they're a very average side. Now I think they can improve. They're still probably gelling a little bit. I think the issue with Pat Hooban not being fit at the start of the year has been a bit of a disaster. But even when he's been on the pitch, he's only scored one goal. At the back, I think they're definitely leaky at the back. I think they've conceded 11 goals in 9 now. I think so far you could only describe them as an average side. They could improve as the season goes on and finish in the top four. Who knows? But at the moment, after the first series of games, if you ask me to describe them, Doc, the only word I could use would be average.
Average or
just average? Just an average team. Nah, just average.
And do you think what needs to happen for it to change?
That's a good question, and maybe our Dundalk listeners can probably answer that a little bit better. But
we've been talking about issues like this in the side for a while. Yeah, and you know,
look, I don't think anyone was blown away with their transfer business. Tullock and Mali look to be the two good additions, But last night there, you see McCourt playing left back. I mean, he's had a very difficult start to life at Dundalk. I think when Leahy plays, I think he's there to be got at times. I think Davis over on the far side is very good going forward, but I think you can get him out wide as well. Daniel Kelly's obviously struggled to stay fit. I think we've mentioned Robbie Benson. When he doesn't play, I think there's a real lack of creativity in the middle at times. And last night they played Lococo up front because I think John Martin, he just hasn't been able to fill the boots of Hooban when he hasn't played. So that's a big problem area up front for them when there's no Pat Hooban. But as I said, even when he has played, I think the centre of the park is a big issue. I think Mali's been a really good addition, but I think they are lacking that really creative midfield player at times.
And what about my pal Sluggett?
He's actually been playing a lot better in recent weeks. He's probably been putting in some of his better shifts. I think you look at their middle three they had last night was Lewis, Sloggett, Mali. I think there's a huge emphasis there on Mali to create. I think Lewis is more of a, you used the word earlier, a cycle. He's very good at keeping possession and keeping it clean and moving the ball, good at breaking up play, but he wouldn't be a huge creator. I think Sloggett probably falls into the same category a little bit as well. So you're really relying on Mali there to create, and I think you're just missing the cuteness of, you know, a fit Robbie Benson or going back to a prime Richie Towell. Or I think they've never really replaced Towell in that midfield.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was just like, you know, we keep saying a lot of similar stuff when it comes to Dundalk, and you know, I'm not seeing much of a change in style or approach, and I generally don't see that coming from the manager either. You know, he said on many occasions that he doesn't believe or he doesn't see the criticism of the style.
Mm.
So if he doesn't see it, I think Dundalk are going to be in for a lot more of what they've been seeing for the last good while anyway. Mm. But look, remains to be seen.
We'll move on. Shells 2, Sligo 1. Typical Sligo Rovers, Gary. Great winning against Dundalk on Friday. One up here. And then to use one of your catchphrases that your fan club love, they fill the togs.
Fill the togs. Absolutely ram it full. Like, I tell you, I didn't watch this game.
I think everyone's seen the freak own goal, haven't they? I'm sure you've seen that, have you?
I have seen that. And look, I think, you know, you said... what was it? I don't know who. I know who it was. Something happened. Someone drove into someone or something like that. And I was just like, some lad that you know, I don't know him. But like, and I was just like, I know him based on like the bits that you told me. I was just like, it could only happen to that lad. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's the same with Sligo. That type of own goal only happens to Sligo, I feel. You know, it's similar, rooting around, messing around. Apparently, they were more dominant, but didn't make any use of it. A lot of talk about that foul on Fitzgerald that allowed Farrell to regain possession to put the cross in. Did you think that was a foul?
I didn't see it, Gary. I'm like Chris Kamara this week.
Oh, blind as a bat. Well, there was so much talk about it. I thought that like Shane Farrell had like decapitated him or something like that. And sure, but God, like nothing. Excuse me, nothing in that. I think it was more of the defender.
I will
trying
say,
to
I think you're. I think you're becoming very pro referee on this show. I have to say that.
No, I'm not.
I think you're in the pockets of the ref. You're in the pockets of the referees.
How do you think that?
Oh, just you're very defensive of them these days.
Well, actually, the reason for that is because people are going absolute, like losing the rag with everything. And I just don't genuinely don't buy it as much as people are going on. Like Rory Higgins going on about the ref last night. You know, these aren't clear-cut decisions. Some lad gets his leg broke and the ref, you know, doesn't give a yellow card even. You know, it's not as simple as the way a lot of people are trying to make it out. And
Derry Drogheda on Friday was a sending off for Drogheda.
Yes, you tweeted about that. I think you had to delete that tweet. You were probably getting dug out to the high heavens.
That was 50-50.
50? What are you talking about?
No, in terms of the response I was getting, some people were, that's a disgraceful decision. And then people like you were digging me out. I think yellow was more than acceptable there.
He got him. He nearly went through his back, never mind his legs. Are you crazy, man? That was a stonewall red card. No question about that. The game is gone because your man got sent off for totally out of control. I'm not going to say it's reckless because reckless is a yellow card.
Reckless yellow card. There you go. You got it wrong.
But it wasn't reckless.
It was reckless.
It was more than reckless. It was far more than reckless. It was a thundering disgrace of a challenge. Stonewall red card. No question about it.
I don't agree.
What do you mean you don't agree?
Did
you ask him last night about
it? We were chatting about it. Yeah, I can't quite know what he said. He got sent off anyway, so I think that tells you how he felt about it.
That was a stonewall red, Kevin. I know you listened. That was a red. I'm sorry. Stonewall red, no question. The reason is just that I don't see... Like, I have been well-known and have a good track record of digging out refs. You'll admit that.
Yes.
Yeah. So much so that, you know, I've been like, jeez, even I, that's too much for even me.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, we need a bit of, like, cop on here. What was the other fella saying? What's his name? Damien Duff going on about refs as well.
That was a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
That was a few weeks ago, but sure, I'm sure he had something to say about something that happened on Friday or Monday or whatever. It's just like, it's not really that bad. It's brutal in a lot of ways, but I don't know. I just find it too much.
There'll be more ref talk later on because the game I was at last night, I thought the ref was shocking. But Shell 2, Sligo, I'll wrap this up quickly for us.
Shell 2, Sligo 1. Yeah, look, good win for Shells.
Really needed it after the UCD result as well, because I think Julian a couple of weeks ago tweeted us to ask, you know, is there a chance that Shells could be dragged into the relegation, the ninth place scrap? I think if they had lost this game, you'd have to be having real conversations about that.
I think so. I think someone else had a good tweet up. I think, like, how are Shells fans happy with Duffer because he has six league wins now in the last 29 games?
Yeah, and I think after the game Friday, I seen a few tweets that were like, you know, this isn't good enough. It's boring. We're not scoring goals and we're not getting the results now either.
I think it's going to be a while before Shells have exciting football.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
No one to put the ball in the net, and that's it.
No one to put the ball in the net, but like I think because of that, they have to totally change their style of play because they're not attacking teams, so it's going to be a lot of defensive messing.
Yeah.
So they're just going to have to get used to that, I think. As regards Sligo, it's a really up and down season, and I'm, you know, I think back to some lad. He tried telling us, "Oh, we're going to Sligo are surprise, going to surprise us this season. They're going to be up in the European spots or something like that."
That tweet actually popped up on mine.
Someone liked it the other day. Yeah, I was like, because I'd forgotten about it, but I was dead right to forget about it.
I think he said two things. He said something like, "There's no way that Sligo will finish below Bowes and Dundalk." Now, you might be right about Dundalk, the way things are going out there, but they're what? They're 9 points behind Bowes already, are they?
I wouldn't stop at it, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, there's 9 points. So
yeah, but like, when are Sligo going to not be at this stuff? When they've been at this threatening to, you know, progress on for a number
of
years.
The only thing is, right, the only thing is at the moment, so Bowes are flying it.
Right.
Derry, despite all their messing, are going to finish in the top three. Rovers, right. I think, are still going to win the league. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Pats, Sligo, Dundalk, probably all scrapping for that fourth spot. They all blow hot and cold on the day.
Right.
You know, I don't think, even though Sligo are winning games and then losing the next week, they're probably always going to be within touching distance of that top four.
But they're not going to break into it, like.
We're only two points outside of it now at the minute.
Yeah, but this threatening lark that they've been very fond of the last couple of years, is like, that's, when is that going to be turned into something material?
Yeah, no, I agree.
And if I was a Sligo Rovers fan, I'd be sick to the teeth of the team.
Moving on, Shamrock Rovers 3, UCD 0. Rovers are they're hitting top gear, aren't they?
They don't need to be in top gear to dish that out to UCD, but I will say it's the Terminator-like stuff. They're just going to start putting teams to the side. We saw it started last week against Dundalk, continued on Friday, and continued then yesterday as well.
The big player stepping up, Burke, I think that's 3-2 for him. Burns scored again as well, so that's 2-3 for him. So the big players are starting to hit form now as well.
Absolutely, and right time to do it. You know, they can put a string of wins together, and next thing you know, they're just creeping into the top position, and then it'll be Bowes that are going, oh, Jesus, oh, you know, oh, God, what happened?
Rovers win the league for me still. Right, let's keep this show on the road. Drogheda 1, Pats 3. We're going to hear from Dara Doyle, Tim Clancy after this. I was at this game last night. I thought Drogheda started the game really well in the first 5 or 10 minutes, put lots of pressure on Pats, but then there was what looked like a very dubious penalty decision. I haven't seen it back, and I was probably the wrong side to be able to say conclusively whether it was the right or wrong decision. But I think the giveaway was Tim Clancy looked down the line, shook his head at Dara Doyle, pretty much to say not a penalty. It was given for handball. It looked very soft. Forrester tucked it away. Drogheda did well to bounce back. They got an equaliser then, but then they conceded a soft enough second goal. It was a good counter-attack from Pats. There was a cross into the box from wide. I think it was McClellan put the cross in. It was a brilliant game, by the way. Probably the best game he's had in the Pats shirt. And the ball broke to Forrester on the edge of the box, and he just took a touch and looked like he was going to go for one of them kind of trademark curling ones towards the far post and try and find the top corner. But he actually just hit it straight down the middle. I think it caught McCabe unawares, and it kind of went through McCabe and in, and it was a really poor goal, I thought, to concede. And after that, Drogheda never really reacted. They were quite flat for the last 10 or 15 minutes of the first half. And then I thought in the second half, they never really came out at all. They did have a chance, though, at 1-1 to go 2-1 up. Grimes, who got the first goal for them, he broke through one-on-one. He did everything right. He cut across the defender, hoping the defender would foul him. It'd be a red card. Defender tried to foul him and actually didn't. Grimes went in one-on-one. And the Pats keeper made an absolutely brilliant save. But after that, then Pats got the second. And as I said, I don't think Drogheda ever really recovered from conceding that second goal. And at the end then, McCabe, who was quite poor all night, he was afraid to come off his line, deal with things. His distribution was poor, his kicking was poor. And he gave the ball away softly, trying to play out in the last minute in injury time, gave it straight to Owen Doyle. And Doyle, with a nice finish, he came on off the bench to score. So Pats were deserving of it. The only criticism I have of Pats was they could have killed the game off way earlier than they did. It took until the 90-something minute to kill the game. They had loads of counter-attacks.
Were the Drogheda really in looking like they were going to equalise, though?
No. But Pats had loads of chances on the counter-attack where they got into really good positions, and then the last ball let them down, or the decision-making was poor. They could have killed the game an awful lot earlier than they did. But as I said earlier in the show, Forrester absolutely ran the show. I was shocked that someone like Deegan didn't go in and nail him early on to try and quieten him. Deegan got an early yellow, though, I think, so that kind of took away that chance. I think a couple of the midfielders for Drogheda were on yellows, but the midfield area was really where you could see the difference between the two teams. Pats dominated the midfield, and Drogheda, they were missing Markey, and you could see the void he left in the middle of the park.
Yeah, look, I think, though, like, probably not a fully unexpected result here, is it?
I thought they might get something from the game last night, but look, three wins, three draws from their first nine. Drogheda, it's been a great start. They'd probably be disappointed that they're only 3 points above the playoff place, given how well they've done.
Yeah, I think so. Like, that's, you know, they might feel a bit like, oh, Jesus, we're doing loads right. But I think certainly based on my prediction for them in the early part of this, before a ball was kicked, I think they should be very, very pleased with how they've worked and how they've done up to this point, particularly against some of the results have been very, very good.
Yeah. Keeper's a big problem. Keeper's a big issue for them. McCabe, he's not up to it. For a man his size, he's terrified to come off the line. One last night, he went up to fist the ball. I can't remember which Pats player it was, went up for a header and McCabe ended up on the ground. Now, he got a free kick. But the lads around me, as I was saying to them, I said, look at the size difference there. The only person that should be on the ground there is the Pats player.
Yeah, dead.
He should be absolutely killing him there.
Yeah.
He's just afraid to come off the line. His kicking is absolutely dire. I was surprised in preseason when they didn't get another goalkeeper in, because I asked one of the lads next to me last night, I said, who's your sub keeper? He's a 19-year-old. I'm really surprised they don't have...
Who is he?
I can't remember, but he's a young lad. Like, I'm very surprised they didn't sign somebody there, especially when Stacey left. There's nobody there to push McCabe, really.
You'd imagine that would have been rectified at some point, especially considering their, you know, their issues in that area. But you know, they're probably at the limit of what they can do at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you another concern I'd have as well is if Freddie Draper's loan, if he goes in the summer back to Lincoln, going to be very difficult to replace. He is so, so good. He's strange. He's more dangerous with his back to goal than he is facing it, because he's just so strong, takes the ball in, turns players for fun. The only thing I do wonder, he's probably just lacking a yard of pace to be a top class striker, but he's very good as he is. But I do just wonder if he had
an extra League of Ireland, is that what you're saying? Essentially.
He's very good at this level, you know. I think if he had that extra yard of pace, he probably wouldn't be on loan here. But you know, he makes up for that in lots of other areas. As I said, his hold up play links up with his teammates really well. He even tracked back last night, made a brilliant sliding tackle and just outside his own box. He's very, very good.
Good to see. That's good to hear.
Want to hear from the two managers last night? Well, Darragh Doyle's the assistant, but he was stand-in boss last night. Kevin was a bold boy.
What did he do?
He got sent off in Derry for that decision, the red card.
For that decision, he deserves a few games of a ban.
Don't say that. He has to. I think he has to go in front of a disciplinary committee to see how many he's going to get. That's his first. I was surprised, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I was surprised it was his first ever sending off as a coach. I think he's 10 or 15 years. He said coaching, and that's his first red card. So I'd hope that would go in his favour, and it's just the one game and move on.
Who knows what the bloody FAI would say or do about it? It'll probably bring him out into the middle of the Aviva, pay for something like that. Who knows what? But that's amazing, because he's been.
He's lively. He's lively.
Yeah, but he's been managing a good while.
Yeah. But anyway, he was suspended last night. Darragh Doyle filled in, and we're going to hear from Darragh now, and then we'll hear from the Pats boss, Tim Clancy. Now I'm here with the Drogheda assistant manager, Darragh Doyle, who was stand-in manager for the night, unfortunately, defeat in the end against St. Pat's.
Yeah, no, listen, disappointed even after a really good result up in Derry on Friday. We come into the game today really positive that we could put it up the St. Pat's and try and get something out of it. Obviously, it was a hugely depleted squad with suspensions and injuries, and we've had to bring a few bodies into what is a small squad that we have, but felt in a game where it was 2-1 to them at half-time, they got a really soft penalty in the first half. Really, really soft. The ref couldn't nearly wait to give the penalty, and it's another decision, I suppose, that's gone against us early in the game. When you look up in Derry, Manny Adebayega gets a really soft red, and there's a really soft, again, Phil penalty given this evening against us. We go in 2-1 down, and listen, it could have been a different story had Dylan Grimes been able to take the chance he got in the first half in a 1v1, but you've got to give credit to the goalkeeper who stands up and makes a really good save. Into the second half, I suppose we got into plenty of good areas, maybe a little bit of good. enough over corners and maybe the odd cross, but I felt Dale Rooney caused some problems all night down the left side. Dylan Grimes was really good in the middle, and Freddie Draper up front caused them all sorts of problems. I think as the game went on, towards the end of it, you could see we brought bodies on, changed the formation, tried to put players forward, positions to try and get ourselves back into the game. And listen, it wasn't to be this evening. I think Mikey Leddy comes on and has a chance at the back post, but it gets blocked. And then obviously at the very, very end, after putting everyone up, we make a bit of a mistake to allow them to score the third goal, which is disappointing to see a 3-1 defeat rather than a 2-1 defeat. But you know, if someone probably had told us before the weekend that you'd play Derry and St Pat's over the weekend and pick up 3 points, listen, it's reasonable from the games that we've had, but we're still disappointed because we wanted to get something from it. I think this group has showed over the first round of games that we can get results against anybody, and that's why we're disappointed tonight that we've lost the game.
Yeah, as you said, it's a disappointing result tonight, but when you look at the first series of games, I think Drogheda has been most people's surprise packet. Are you surprised yourself about how well you've done in the first series of games, or did you have a quiet confidence going into the league this season?
No, I think we had a quiet confidence. If you look at the spine and a lot of the experienced players we've got in the group, and then we've surrounded them with a lot of young players that are hungry and have lots of quality, so we felt we'd have a chance this year to do well. And after the first round of games, we have done well, and that's credit to the group that we've got up there. And you know, we've done that for one round of games. There's 3 rounds of games left, and that's the challenge for all of us here, to sustain what we've done so far, to try and continue to pick up points, to put ourselves in a position, you know, we're not looking at the other end, and we're able to give ourselves a chance to pick up as many points as we can to challenge. And I think after playing every team now in the first round, we've shown and we've proven that we're a match against any team that we play, and we're capable of picking up them points. So we'll go into the second round again as positive that we'll be able to do that again.
I suppose that is the question everyone is asking: can Drogheda sustain what you've done in the opening series?
Yeah, no, they can, and like I said, that's the challenge to the players, and I suppose it's up to them and ourselves as a staff to prepare and have them ready to do that in these next series of games. And listen, we'll be doing that. If we come to the window then and we're able to bring in a body or two, that would be great to add to the squad that we have. We'll be welcoming a few players back from injury and suspension next week, hopefully, and Darren Markey, Evan Weir and Manny Adbayega to the squad. So you know, that's going to give us even more strength in the group next week going into the game against Sligo on Saturday.
Yeah, as you said, it'd be great if you could add some players in the summer window. What about the chances of keeping someone like Freddie Draper, because he was absolutely tremendous again tonight?
Yeah, no, listen, he was excellent, and we all know with these loan players that it goes from window to window, which takes it up to the end of June, which would be, I think there's 22 league games to the end of June. And you know, it's one of those that, listen, we have a really good relationship with Lincoln, and listen, we'll be speaking to them over there. We're constantly speaking to them, and it's a case we'd be really positive that we could keep them for the whole season. But again, you never know what happens in football. But yeah, we'd be really hopeful that we can keep the lads for the full year, and that they'll be able to, you know, help us kick on in the next part of the season.
Did you enjoy being back in the hot seat tonight as such?
Listen, it's fine being back there. You do the same job when you're number two with Kevin there. It's always lively enough on our bench, I suppose. And Kevin,
couldn't believe it was his first sending off. No offense to Kevin.
Yeah, listen, it's his first one in 15 years. Yeah. So you know, and I think it was because of his reaction to what we felt was a really harsh decision last week. And you know, we're really disappointed that sometimes these decisions go against us. And listen, hopefully he'll only get a 1-game ban. The disciplinary committee will sit this week, and we'd hope to welcome him back to the dugout next weekend.
Yeah, you've got Sligo up next. What's your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, Sligo up next. We played them here, and they suffered a 1-0 defeat, and I'm sure they'll be looking to get one over us when we go there. There's a lot of good quality in their squad, and I think they'll be disappointed. I think they had a 2-1 defeat to Shelburne tonight. So they'll be going into it looking to pick up 3 points. They've lost tonight. We're no different. We've lost tonight, and we're as disappointed as they'll be. We want to go there and put things right at Sligo, and we'd be hopeful to go there and get a result. And with being able to hopefully welcome a couple of bodies back into it, you know, we might add that little bit of freshness that we'll be able to do after a couple of players missing out.
Results have been very unpredictable so far in the opening round, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. I think if you look from second maybe nearly to ninth, there's probably, was it 11 to 15 between second to ninth, or 11 to 9? Whatever, it's close. Whatever way you look at it, it's really close in the division. So a couple of wins in a row can put you right up, and a couple of defeats in a row can have you looking over your shoulder the other way. So we need to look after ourselves and go into these games and look to pick up the points that we hope we can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here with the Saints boss, Tim Clancy. 3-1 win in Drogheda, 3 wins on the bounce, Tim.
Yeah, listen, that's the really pleasing thing. It's three wins on the bounce, but I think 3-1 probably flatters us tonight. It was a very close game. But listen, we grind it out, we'll take it.
Is that the one disappointing thing? Maybe your team didn't kill it off earlier in the second half, because you have some great opportunities on the counter-attack in the second half.
Yeah, it probably doesn't reflect it in shots. I know Chrissy's hit the target a few times, and Lenny's had a shot as well. And it's probably the final ball, which we've been decent at in the last couple of weeks, but the pleasing thing was we were getting into that, we were getting beyond their midfield and we were getting turned, and maybe we picked the wrong option on two or three occasions where someone would have gone 1-on-1, but no, listen, I'll take the 3-1. I know this place is a very difficult place for teams to come, haven't spent so long here, and the form that's dropped in this season as well, it'll be a good win for us.
Some standout performances tonight. Chris Forrester, I thought he ran the game, particularly in the second half, and Jason McKinnon, that was must be one of his best games in a patch shirt.
Yeah, Jason, Jay was excellent. He ran 2 kilometres more than anyone else in our team, so brilliant again off the back of a great performance against UCD, where he set 2 goals up and then a goal last week and an assist as well. So he was excellent tonight again, and obviously Chris had to get 2 more goals, and we're hoping that he can keep that up, because he's the ability Chris has. I think he can add more goals to his game, and when he does do that, it's a frightening prospect.
Looking at an unfortunate one for Colly McCabe, the last goal, but Owen Doyle, that's why you bring him on the pitch. He's a poacher, and not only that, but he runs his socks off and he forces those type of mistakes all the time.
Yeah, I think that was it. It was easy to not chase that in the last minute when you're 2-1 up and you might just drop off and try and defend it, but Doyle's chased it. And he's forced a mistake, and he takes a good touch, and it's a great finish. So it's pleasing for him to get another goal as well, but listen, a win's a win.
Redmond looked like the hamstring, any update?
Yeah, listen, we were very early to even talk about it, so he said he felt his hamstring. So yes, so we'll look at that now, try and get him scanned tomorrow and see the extent of it.
Coming towards the end of the first series of games, where do you feel your team is at the moment?
Yeah, that's the end of the first round now, so listen, we're a point off second. We've probably left a few points behind us. We had a poor week the last time there was a Friday-Monday game, so it just shows a few wins can do, and you can shoot up to, I think we're joint third now with Rovers, so shows the league that it's going to be all season. If you get a run of wins together, you'll be very high up the table.
What's the one area you feel you need to improve on most? As you said tonight, you probably left a few goals behind. Is that something that's been maybe plaguing you in some games this season?
I'd say we're probably second top scorers in the league now, are we? So yeah, listen, we'll score goals, obviously you want to score more, just all round want to tighten it up, maybe game management has to be a little bit better as well, a little bit cuter, but I think that's coming with more games that the squad play. So we're really happy with the response after the Bowes game to be unbeaten the last 4 going into the next Bowes one.
Tim, thanks very much.
Okay.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, Gary, let's move on to the first division games from Friday night. The game we were at, Treaty 3, Longford Town 2. Where do you want to start with this?
I think we start with the football anyway. I think that's the right place to start, don't you?
Well, that should be quick, so, because there wasn't much football played by either side.
What did Tommy say at the end of the game to us?
Worst
that old spiel, yeah. Raven. Oh, Tommy, come on. Don't start that. Yark, how many times have we heard that this season?
Every game. I wonder, right, is that just a coincidence, or is it the fact, right? Longford, now I thought Longford in the first half didn't like played more football than they have in other games, but there's this kind of saying, isn't there, that teams will play to the level that they're playing against. And yeah. I just wonder, are we bringing teams down a lot with the way we're setting up? You know, we're set up to be quite rigid and defensive and organised.
Yeah.
It's not a great advert, but you know, you have to do what you have to do. I just wonder, is that a reason that all these other teams we've played are coming out afterwards and saying, oh, that's the worst we've played? Is it because Longford are kind of bringing them down to their level a little bit?
No, I just think just people don't think that they're not as good. I'm not saying this with Tommy, but like we've heard this nearly every game that we've played, and we've nearly played everybody at this point.
Yeah, Wexford's the only one we haven't played now. Play them Saturday. Yeah.
But like, you know, is that true? Like,
well, it must be, lads. Have we seen one good game of football this year following the town?
Have we seen a good game of football, period?
Yeah.
Now, we'll leave that one for later. But yeah. I think I don't know. I'm not sure if people are what games they're watching or what are they doing, but I don't think Longford, like, I don't think it's fair to say that Longford are bringing the game down. Like, they play some nice stuff at times. They hold the ball well at times. But, you know, I think they need to improve in obviously lots of areas. But I do think there's a bit of a, oh, geez, you know, we played awful, but we got the win or whatever. Mm. I don't really buy the fact that Treaty, that's their worst performance of the season.
Well, first half, I think Tommy said it, didn't he? It's probably the first half, probably the worst they've ever played under him since he took the job.
He said that. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
They were horrific. But in the second half, it's like Longford lost all logic and understanding of how to play football, of what a game of football is. The second half was absolutely unforgivable. It was crap. It was absolutely hideous stuff. It was dreadful. It was like they lost the ability to kick a football or play football.
Yeah, it was.
I've never seen a team that finds ways to lose games like this Longford team do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's like a science for them. I don't know how they're managing it. But like to go in at halftime, I couldn't believe how well Longford were playing in the first half.
But again, against a team that were stink in the first half, Treaty.
Yeah, I know that. But my point is, like, what was said or what happened at halftime that Longford just went out and basically
lay down?
Essentially.
Yeah.
It's just.
There's no way they should have lost that game the other night. No way.
No. It should have never been a thing. I will say, success, Edigan's goal to put them ahead was super.
Yeah, sure. It's all well and good when you're left totally unmarked and allowed to have a shot from 20, 25, 30 yards, whatever it was. Come ahead, lad, take a shot there.
Yeah, that probably was one of the few times that the centre-backs for Longford Town have been done so easily. Because that was just a long ball up to him.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing in that. And next thing you know, oh, Jesus, what's going on here? I think the sad part for me was like, oh, this lad's going to score.
Mm.
Even from his position, like he was outside the box, someone else was coming over to cover. I was just like, I could, you know, this is going to be a bloody worldie.
Yeah. You know, I was a great strike. He had a great impact off the bench. I think the subs had a good impact for Tommy.
Yeah, they did very well. And particularly like Enda, I think he came off injured at halftime or whatever's wrong with him. But,
I think he hurt himself throwing himself to the floor for the free kick.
Yeah, that was never a free kick for the open, for the first one. That was.
I think Jack probably should have done better though, should he?
I think he was trying to cover over if the ball had come over the wall, and you know that's part of life. I don't think we do harden him for that one. He'd be disappointed with himself because he didn't get a hand to it.
Yeah,
but look, that's part of life. I wouldn't be digging him out for that in particular. But yeah, look, poor result from the town finding ways to lose games.
Second half is just not acceptable. Not acceptable.
I think so, but. I think it
needs to be said, and I think we've been very supportive of the team all season long so far, and that will continue. But there's no point in, you know, these hard luck stories and this and that and all the rest. The second half was just totally unacceptable, and simple as that.
Yeah, it was crap. But I think, like, you know, we're on a podcast, lad. You know, we need to do a bit of a dive than that. I think the issue for me is that we went in at halftime dominating, should have probably went a bit harder trying to get the second goal.
You say that though, dominating. How many saves did the treaty keeper make?
That's the problem. But this is well known. We understand this. Like even Longford's opening goal, I thought Frank Campbell was very good.
Yeah, he was excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll start the next game. I think he deserves it. But that was down to a mad blunder at the back from the keeper. I just think it was, you know, I think Longford are going to have a problem all season of scoring goals unless they change a few things. Good kebab though.
Can you remember? Oh yeah, the Turkmen, wasn't it?
Turkmen Grill.
Because one of the Pats fans I met in the pub last night, first thing he said to me, how was the kebab Friday?
Yeah.
people obviously want to know. So, Gary, I'll ask you once again, like I did when we did our first BTS kebab review of the season, is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down for the Turkmen Grill?
a big thumbs up. Yeah. They've never let us down. We've been down there a few times in the last couple of years. Very good stuff. And this is a key feature of this particular kebab house. They have a wash hand basin in the restaurant itself.
Yeah, bang in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, so if you're like me, you destroy yourself. Yeah. You know, you need to be hosed down outside. Actually, you know what I'm going to say?
I know exactly what you're going to say. Straban.
Straban, the one and only. Yeah, we had to get bottles of water out of the boot to wash our hands and arms and faces and everything. It was that messy. Great kebab, though. Jeez, that was lovely.
That place the other night, it's one of the only times I think I've ever turned to you after a kebab and I said, I'd eat another one of them right now. I didn't feel sick or heavy after. I thought it was top, top class.
Yeah, no, I actually felt healthier after that kebab on Friday.
Healthy living.
Yeah, health and fitness.
One thing, not a great crowd again at the treaty game.
Seems we weren't.
Do you want to go into that at all? Because I think it's interesting. You know, we go to all these grounds. I think people like to hear kind of the fan experience, don't they?
Yeah, I think to an extent. I think
we'll just say didn't not the friendliest of welcomes, which is something we wouldn't be accustomed to. Usually, it's always, you know, how are you lads? In you go, you know, whatever. Not the friendliest of welcomes.
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, very very unfriendly. After the game, I went to run into the Jacks. There's a man's toilet and a woman's toilet. One single toilet each in the away end. Mm. No toilet roll in either of them.
Okay.
Nothing in them. Just 2023. That wasn't acceptable in 1933. You know, the away end, even you go in, and as I said, just very unfriendly. It's almost like the Lazio ultras were coming to town or something. You're caged into the away end. There's no anything. You can't get a bottle of water over that side of the ground. You can't. Yet they're caging you in like some sort of rabid animal. Yet you can, if you want to, you can walk the whole length of the ground to go around to the chip van or whatever. But you know, it's just. Wasn't a good experience. It's not. I found the ground to be very soulless. It's a big, open, vast ground.
I wouldn't mind the ground. You know, like
that is what it is.
Ground issue. It is what it is. I think what you can do is you can make it. You know,
a bit
more friendly.
Yeah.
The stewards when we arrived. I don't know who they thought we were. I don't know what to explain.
Joe Biden's coming to town tomorrow, and anyone within 100 yards of him won't be vetted the way we were coming in the game.
Honest to God, I think those stewards are working it. They've been shipped into Dundalk for the festivities.
No one will get near Joe.
Honest to God, his wife won't get near him.
She's not coming, actually.
Oh, is she not?
No.
Busy, is she?
Busy, must be busy.
But no, yeah, look, I think I was talking to one of the Longford Town groundsman, Seamus, and he was like, that's not great. And I was just like, you know, there's only a couple of hundred volunteers like this in League of Ireland. Not really great that type of stuff is going on to have such a small subgroup of people. You know, and particularly like, you know.
Yeah, there was what, 10 Longford fans maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Well, like I was working, I was doing stuff on behalf of the club for that match. And one thing, I will just say one small thing. To say to a Longford fan that was caught out last year, to say we were there at bang, I think it was like 3 minutes past seven we were there. And to say that we should have got here earlier from a team that called the game off at 7 o'clock last year. I had a bit of PTSD after that comment. Wasn't very nice. But yeah, I think one final point on this. Tommy has mentioned the crowds.
Yeah,
when he was on the podcast earlier on this season.
Yeah,
it's not a surprise.
Yeah,
we did speak to a couple of stewards over after the game. Lovely, pure gents and ladies. Great chat. Delighted to see that we came down and all the rest of it. But that needs to be aired out across the rest of the ground because it wasn't good enough on Friday.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on. Bray 1, Athlone 0.
Can't remember this goal. I watched the highlights. What happened? Who scored it?
Cole.
I can't remember.
Cole, the big lad at the back.
Oh, header. Was it? I can't remember at all.
Can't remember it either.
Oh, Jesus. We've looked at too much football over the past few days.
All I can think about now is that beautiful kebab.
Kebab on the brain.
Yeah.
Look, good result for Bray. Have they been quietly ticking along?
Would you call them quietly? I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there was kind of what's going to happen in...
Only one loss, 4 wins from 8, won 50% of the matches, 6 points, they're 9 points off the top, but that's not their ambition, you know. Grand start. I'd be happy enough if I was a Bray fan.
Yeah. I'd be definitely happy. I think go on.
I think the at loan is the bigger story here, isn't it?
I think so. That's what I was going to say.
Crazy stuff. But what's new? It's at loan. This has happened regularly over the last few years, this type of carry on. But I think it's very disrespectful to your own fans.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, shovel a lad into the dugout. There's no official. I'm on their Twitter right here at the moment. They put the starting 11 up the other night. Kickoff, 0-0 at half time. Couple of subs in the second half, full time defeat. That's it. You know, no mention of the fact there was a new man in the dugout.
Yeah.
I just think that's incredibly disrespectful to your own fans, never mind everyone else.
Yeah, it's are these boys are Portuguese, aren't they?
Yeah, this chap is he's involved with the club that they linked up with recently.
But this is not the same Portuguese boys from before.
No.
Oh. Different Portuguese boys.
Who knows?
What is the Portuguese interest in Athlone? That's the bigger question.
that is involved with the. Is it Valero? Was it something like Valero or
Valeo? I think it is. I think.
Yeah. He's the
same crowd that sell the headlights.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, maybe. I don't know. I was going to reach out to Athlone this week. Didn't get time. I'm not the only person, you know, I'm not really a journalist. I'm sure there's proper journalists out there that could have easily, I'm sure somebody has asked Athlone what the story is.
But is this a type of thing that you always call, you know, a false dawn? Like, what's going to be the end game here? Like, is there, I know it's been, there's been so little about it, but like,
I think I've said this about Athlone before. We talked about this last year, I think, on the pod when they were having a bit of a revival towards the end of the year. You need to get off the pitch right before you even attempt to touch on the pitch. And this just shows that Athlone is still a bit of a basket case.
Would you call them a basket case?
I would call them a basket case, yeah. You go back to pre-season.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knew who was signing for them. Raft of players come in from all over the place. I think they were playing a Leinster City. Yeah, the draw of the game. I was at Leinster Senior Cup. People only knew who Athlone had really then because it was on FAI Connect. Now you've got this stuff going on with people been shipped into the dugout and nobody knows anything about them. It's crazy that this is going on. In what's supposed, I know the First Division is not a professional league, but you know,
we're trying to be somewhat professional
and this stuff is going on.
Yeah, it's a real head scratch because, you know, I think was it just put up on the starting 11 that the manager was the new name?
I first seen it through Andrew Dempsey's Twitter. He had up, I think he had a team sheet up, or someone that was at the game had a team sheet up. He quoted, there's a new man in the dugout, and rumors that the two boys that have been over are not involved tonight or whatever.
I think Gordon is going back to, is the head academy or something like that?
Well, that's the rumors that are out there, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, no, it is a concern. It's hard to know because there's so much cloak and dagger, let's say.
Yeah.
And next thing was just announced. I don't know. It's not entirely the FAI's fault, but like, should they be kind of sticking their oar in a bit here and going?
Well, it would have to be approved. Like,
it's only criteria that they have a pro license. Is that it?
I don't know any of that, but I'm sure this had to be approved. I'm sure he couldn't just rock up on the night and stand. You know, so I'm sure from that point of view, it's all above board. But just from a media point of view, again, I just think it's disrespectful to your own fan base.
It's something that they need to rectify, because if they keep going down that road, they'll turn into, you know, a club that was like that not too long ago.
Yeah. Probably still are like that a bit too, I think.
Maybe so, but let's say they're trying to improve in that area and they have been doing some good work. But I think you can find yourself in that position very easily when people...
Was it the Galway game? There was over 1,000 that had in that loan. They've had over 1,000 at some of the women's matches as well, which is great. You know, they've had to work really hard to get to that point, because it's not that long ago they were barely getting 100 in the gate, and they've still got huge sections of the town soured from previous
acting
the maggot, we'll say. So I think the optics need to be right on everything they do, and I think the optics here are just terrible. But look, we might get some answers for next week's show. Let's move on. Wexford 0, Galway 4. Galway make history 8-8. They've never done that before at the start of a season. But from Wexford's point of view, this season, is it ever going to take off?
I don't think so. I think you know, they've missed the scheduled time. I thought, you know, that they'd hit the ground running a bit better, that they'd you know, move it on a bit more, considering like they basically took the core of another team and inserted it into Wexford.
Yeah.
And added some players and kept some players that were there before. It doesn't seem that it has taken off, but it hasn't, obviously. But, you know, a 4-0 hammering at home by Galway. I know Galway are on top, but, you know, I think it was... who scored last? Is it Borden or is he the...
Yeah, Borden, yeah. He's had an unbelievable start to the season.
Yeah. Like, he just buried that in at the back post. I know they were 3-0 down or what, you know, whatever. But to let that defending went by 10 Wexford players before Borden got on the end of it, buried it into the top corner. The penalty, was a Patchell that was reffing?
Not sure.
What did you make of that?
Some of the
online commentary has been interesting.
Yeah, well, look, that's what I was going to say. So we haven't really heard much of James Keddie since he's gone down there. I don't think he does a whole pile of interviews now. He was good enough to speak to me in pre-season when I caught up with him in Dundalk.
Yeah,
I haven't seen much of him on the Wexford Twitter or anything like that. But then a tweet pops up the other night, James Keddie, it's very difficult to remain silent after decisions like this. And I've had a few Wexford fans on to me. I'm just going to read out a message I got from a Wexford fan. I won't name him, but he said, busy weekend. Did you notice Keddie made his first public comment since beating Athlone by tweeting this? And he attaches the screenshot of James's tweet. He said, after a game, we lost 4-0 and our keeper was man of the match, saving a penalty and a couple of goals down. We're going to blame the referee. No shame losing to Galway, who were really impressive. Best I've seen this season and much better than the Waterford team we played. Very strange reaction after a game, though. Wexford fans are not over demanding, but this guy is giving us nothing at the moment. Club pointing out we were almost in the exact same position as Ian Ryan's first games last season, but there was a feeling with Ian that we had a vision and we're making progress. Keddie has doubled the budget, according to this man, and we've little idea where he's going. Interesting game coming up against Longford on Saturday.
It will be an interesting game. Couple of big points in that comment there.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting.
No, it certainly is. I think the interesting about the budget double.
We don't know double, treble, half. We don't know. Dribble. But yeah, there's no doubt there's been investment there that there hasn't been to the level in previous years.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been backed to the hilts.
Oh, backed. Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that, and that's good that Wexford have been able to you know, offer that to their manager.
Aye, but when is the ROI coming?
The ROI, doing a bit of reading, right? No, I think yes, the return on investment is the same. It remains to be seen, obviously, but I think my concern is that there's defensive issues.
Oh, shocking!
That are not being resolved, and you can talk about the penalty all you want. And yes, the goal changes games, but no one was sent off. That was a penalty. These things happen. I wouldn't necessarily say that it totally changed the course of the game, that it made a tight 1-0 game into a 4-0 game.
We all expected this kind of result.
What did we say last week?
It'd probably be totally different now. just looking for who my writing is fierce sloppy. I think we both went... We actually both went an hour enough, 2-1, 1-0, but I don't think we were overly surprised with this result.
1-0 Galway and 2-1 Galway, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, good.
With the
way Wexford are defending, I said it before, you said it before, you can drive a 7-4-7 down the middle of that defence at times.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be a lot of passing the book. It's like, oh, I thought that was your job. That was your job. What about, you know, accountability doesn't seem to be a thing in Wexford at the minute. And, you know, their season will not improve at all if they don't rectify it sooner rather than later. What are they, 2 points ahead of Longford?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, if we're not happy with Longford, but God, if we were Wexford fans... I don't know what.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. If they lose to Longford, it'll be interesting to see the reaction.
The lose to Longford, it will be. And they might.
Well, who knows? Let's move on. Cove 1, Waterford 3. Back-to-back wins for Keith Long. Idoe scoring again. He's really coming to his own in the last couple of weeks. He could be the sort of player, maybe, if he can get form going, he could be, you know, the kind of player that Junior and Patterson were. Now, maybe not to the level that Patterson was, but, you know, he could be the X-factor player that can just, you know, open up a defence. Coughlin met it 2-0 early on. You were fearing for Cove then, but they got back into a Jack Doherty penalty, but Griffin wrapped it up. 3-1 Waterford, and they're ticking along nicely now.
Yeah, are they becoming the Shamrock Rovers of the First Division?
This is what I want to ask you next, right? So, I'm still sticking with Waterford to win the division. I think Waterford will tick along nicely now under the two boys, but we've seen everyone, as we said, bar Wexford so far, and we've not been impressed with anyone. So who are Galway going to drop enough points against, aside from Waterford, who they've bet once, so they could drop 9 points against Waterford. if they lose all three games against Waterford, they'll drop 9 points, and they're 10 points clear at the minute. Now they might get an old draw somewhere or something, and then but you know, that's a lot of messing that Galway have to do at the same time. Is there a possibility that this gap that Waterford left themselves with might be just too big, that Galway might just keep on ploughing through the rest of the teams in the league, Waterford will plough through the rest of the league, and that'll be it?
Yeah. No, sorry, just when you put it like that, Galway are only going to lose 9 points three times they play Waterford, and then they'll just plough through everybody else, and then it'll just be a one-point league win.
I haven't seen anyone capable of taking points off these teams. It's a bad division.
I tried to stick up for the division there a couple of weeks ago, but you're actually dead right. There's some brutal stuff.
It's not in our interest to slam the First Division. We're probably the only. Oh,
we've seen plenty of dirt in the Premier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll come to that later. But you know, we try to champion the First Division as much as we can on this show. We're the only show probably that goes in depth on it like we do every week. So I'd love to be able to come on and say, "Oh, that was a great game, and this is great, and everything's great." It's not good at the moment. It's not good.
No, it's not. No. I think that goes into the general fear of making mistakes or losing or conceding the ball or anything like that. Mm. And there's not enough people.
Yeah,
there is though. I think it's
there is. Yeah.
Play all the football in your own half. Like, I'll tell you, I've said it many times. Cian Byrne and Oisín Hand.
Tax them. Yeah.
Tax them. Tenner every time you pass the ball to each other.
Yeah.
Tenner apiece.
Yeah.
And Jack Brady as well. He can get taxed as well, because there's no need for it. Particularly in the first half for Longford the other night. Absolutely brutal. The amount of time they spend on the ball. I'm very concerned.
Another lad you've said that should be taxed as well for that is Diallo at Derry. And again, your list is getting longer and longer of things you've been proven right on, which is quite concerning. But I was on a Derry Facebook group today. I was going through the comments after the last few games, and a lot of people.
This is where I've been proven right.
Yeah, Diallo. They were saying Diallo needs to be stopped passing the ball backwards, and they were hammering Patching as well for his performances. And I know you were saying that some of the games you were at, he was terrible. And remember last week you hammered Matty Smith here on the pod. I seen Duffer saying he actually felt bad that he went through Smith so badly after the game last week. He felt bad about it, but I was reading his interview today, Duff, and he said that he had given him quite a hard time after it, and he felt a bit bad. But Smith was supposed to be absolutely excellent last night, so it worked. So yeah. That's a number of things there to add to your list. But the first division I don't think is great at the moment, and I'm not overly impressed with the Premier at the minute either. Let's round it up here, guys, on the review stuff. Kerry won, Harps won. I think it says a lot about Harps at the moment that Kerry fans were very disappointed not to win this game.
Yeah, I think it says it all, doesn't it? McGraw puts them ahead.
That's one thing. That's one for my list there now. I said if he played... he could do that. Remember last week I said McGrath plays and him and Gaxa could definitely do a bit of damage against this Harps team.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's right.
I'm going to assume he wasn't fully fit for the Longford game because McGrath, he's experienced at first division level. He's a tidy player. I think I'd be surprised if he's not in the starting 11 most weeks.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think you were right. I think between him and Gaxa, that's their main danger source. For opponents, so I think they need to be playing a bit more regularly together. Did we both go for Kerry wins?
Yeah, narrow. I think I talked you into it, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You dirtbag. I think I just didn't want to be left out of the Kerry opening win hype train.
Look, good result for them. Another win on the board, Harps.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know. It's just poor side.
I think it's just a poor side.
Yeah, it is. There's no point in ruminating about it. That's just where they are at the moment.
Yeah, but that's a lot of poor sides.
Cheers.
We're talking like Bray and Cove, not as bad, but not great. Longford, Treaty, Wexford, Kerry, Harps. Who am I missing?
No, that's it. Yeah. Athlone.
Not great. Yeah, it's just not great, the whole thing. But do you know what else was not great? We didn't mention this earlier.
Mm.
Did you happen to see the highlights from Treaty?
My tweet. People seen my tweet. It did a bit on Twitter. It's just embarrassing. Like I know a stream. Like you can have issues with a stream. You know that yourself, guys. But don't go and throw that out online. Don't do it.
I tell you, the only time we've had real issues with streams was back in 2020.
Yeah,
we're only cutting our cloth,
and it was only the internet, really, wasn't it? The broadband that was the issue. But look, as I said,
well, it wasn't even that; it was the website was a lava. The stream was actually never bad in the first division. It was the website that was killing us. Yeah. But I think there has to be. This is where. Kind of looked and go, maybe FEI help us.
Did anyone ring Treaty this week? Well, lads, see, you had a few issues there. Can we help you?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Maybe that happened, but I highly doubt it.
Oh, no. I think, there's someone there's probably a young couple of lads down there doing their best. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be dug out because they do, and the FEI deserve to be dug out for putting that up on the YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not good. Not good stuff.
No, not good. Right, let's move to the predictions, Gary. We'll start in the first division and we'll start with Galway against Bray. And just to mention, we've got a listener playing with us this week as well. Finn Harps fan, Edward O'Callaghan Patton. He goes 3-2 to Galway in this one.
Yeah, and just to confirm, I was provided
Edward's
predictions. 3-2 to Galway.
I don't see it being that high scoring, I don't think.
No, I see Galway scoring three, but I don't see...
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't... Well, I see it more than Bray scoring two, or scoring at all. I'm going to go 2-0 Galway.
Yeah, I've gone 2-0 as well. Okay, let's fly along. Athlone against Cove.
This is an interesting one. Cove took a bit of a hammering at home.
Sure. God knows who will be in the dugout here. You know, loads of out-of-work managers at the minute. There could be... Graham Potter or some of the boys could rock up in Athlone and we won't be told about it. But be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough one this. I'm going to, I don't think Cove have enough here.
You don't? Up,
yeah.
I do. I see them winning this.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay. Edward goes 1-0 Cove. I go 2-1 to Cove in that one. Waterford against Kerry. Now, look, guys, we know what happened to Kerry in AM&DC Park. They have to go to the RSC here. Could it be another humbling experience for them?
I think it will be. I think the shackles have been removed. Keith Long is like, right, boys, let's go. Let's put these boys down. I think they're going to do it. I'm going to go 4-0. 4-0 Waterford.
Would you believe I've got 4-0 wrote down as well? I think I do. We'll get a hat-trick here. That's for the bonus point. Yeah.
Okay, fair ball.
Edward goes 5-0 to Waterford. Harps against Treaty. Oh, God.
Lord God is right. I think Tommy said the other night that was Treaty's bad worst performance.
This won't be pretty.
It won't be no. At least we were treated to 5 goals. We'll never see 2 of them again. But we at least we were there. Harps and Treaty up in Donegal.
There'll be a nice bottle of red. Be a nice bottle of red waiting for Tommy when he gets up there.
Red diesel. I want to say 0-0.
Mm.
But I'm gonna go. Nah, do you know how I go mental 2-2. I've opened up a nice little gap above you there. So
yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah. You just no. Last week was a poor week for us again. You got 5 points. I got 4. Not great, but you're still well clear. I think you could be 15 or more points clear. We'll get the table updated later on tonight. But right, you go 2-2 there.
Yeah,
I think I'd be going the way of your earlier one there and a 0-0 draw. To be totally honest, I think. I know Enda Curran's their main man. We'll wait and see how bad his injury is, but I think success probably deserves to start after the impact he made the other night. But maybe that's something in the back of Tommy's mind as well about having something off the bench.
Yeah, certainly. I think success deserves a goal. He caused a lot of trouble for Longford at the back, and you know, I think he not rewarded necessarily, but I'm sure he got them a goal. That's what they needed.
Yeah, I go 0-0 and Edward goes 2-1 to Harps. I don't see that, Edward, sorry. Well, he is a Harps fan, so that's fair enough.
Leave him off.
Yeah, right, Longford against Wexford. One team that can't score goals, one team that can't defend. I'm fed up this evening. I'm just going to be blunt about everything. How do you see this going?
If
Longford had beaten Treaty the other night, Longford would be going into this looking for 3 wins. In a row, and I'd be confident I'm getting something from the game, but the way they played in the second half the other night, you couldn't be confident. But then again, Wexford are at nothing either, so it's very hard to know here what to think.
Oh, it is, and we know nothing at the best of times. Yeah, Jesus, I haven't a clue, to be quite honest with you, and I know that's not great, but I don't know. Like, I wasn't expecting Josh Gergie to be scoring or be
top scorer.
Yeah, or Longford looking to rely on him. And I know it's only 3 goals in 2 games. And, you know, anybody can score a hat-trick, you know, at some point and, be, you know, run to the top of the scoring charts for a team quite handily. But I don't know, like when...
Well, I think that's something in itself. You're looking to the strikers you bring into the club. Frank Campbell, I've liked the look of him since I've seen him first against Crumlin in that cup game. He came on against Waterford, almost scored late on. He's come on in a few games, always makes an impact, and he was very brilliant the other night, I thought. So for me, he'll be starting. I know Ibrahim is, as far as I'm aware, he's doing Ramadan at the minute, so that's why he's not starting games, I'd imagine. That's what I believe.
Okay.
But Lynch came into the club, Dara Lynch. And he seems to be suddenly behind both of those in the pecking order. Now, he scored. Has he scored 2 goals this season? He scored 1 anyway.
He scored one goal.
Yeah. And he scored against Athlone. He had 1 disallowed against Kerry.
Did he?
Yeah, remember the one that Armstrong jumped over?
No.
Yeah, he scored against Kerry and Armstrong was on the line and tried to jump over, but it must have flicked the studs. And
oh, good man, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, he's suddenly behind both of them in the pecking order. Much younger, inexperienced players. That doesn't say a lot for him at the moment. You know, you need a number nine to go out there and do the job. I'm hoping Campbell can be the man now to go and grab the jersey. I think Ibrahim as well. I think he will be an important player for Longford. But, you know, Lynch was the one that was brought in to score goals. And
yeah,
they're not getting anything out of him at the moment.
No, but I think, you know, that's down to, like, what are we attempting to do as well? Like, we're not getting up there with any great pace anyway. So does it matter who's up there? Like, I could be up there. Do you know what I mean, though?
It's a fair point, yeah.
Like, we're not nimble. We're not rapid. We're not, you know,
What I liked about Campbell the other night, he runs at players. He makes things happen. He could have had a hat-trick the other night. He beat his man twice, and his shot just went wide on two occasions, and then he scored a goal as well. But he actually took players on,
yeah,
and, you know, actively tried to make things happen. I don't see that from Lynch enough when the ball's not going up to him, as you said. Yeah, you can look at the service, but players need to play themselves into games as well at the same time. I don't see that from him, and I think that's why he's dropped down the pecking order.
Yeah, I don't fully disagree with that at all. I think that's a fair point. I'm not really sure, like, at that point, is it skill or will?
Yeah,
and I think that's an important question that Dara probably needs to answer himself. At the end of the day, though, what do I know? I'm sitting here doing a bloody podcast, not a training, because I'm not a footballer of some description. So what do I know? But also, I was talking to a town player there a few weeks ago, and he said something. It was just like, you have to want this.
Yeah,
you have to want to play League of Ireland football. You're not going to get rich. You're not going to get the highlights. You're not going to get the headlines. You're not going to get the women. So, you know, But do you know what I mean? Like, it's not the bright lights of,
yeah,
I don't know,
Wrexham,
Southampton, Wrexham. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like,
there's no Netflix documentaries.
No, there isn't. There could be a Netflix documentary about the state of the league, but we'll leave that for another time. But you know what I'm saying? Like you have to really want it. And I think at some point, you're going to have to just go, like, is this what I want? But that, you know, that's just me looking from the outside. I haven't a clue what's going on, but it'd be great, you know, to see, well, do I want this? And am I going to challenge? Because I think there was... Was there an opportunity for Lynch to come on, like, for Longford there on Friday? Could we have needed an extra man up front?
Maybe.
Yeah, so, you know.
I think the fact he's behind two young players in the pecking order probably says something at the moment. Look, let's get back to where we were. Longford, Wexford, who's going to win this?
1-0 Longford.
Can't follow him, I'm afraid. Edward goes 2-1 Longford, which is encouraging
up
to see.
Edward, up the boy.
See, an outsider, you know, thinking Longford could win is encouraging.
Yeah,
I'm going to go 2-1.
Blind luck against us down in Bishopsgate a couple of weeks ago. Blessed by the ref.
don't start that. I'll go 2-1 Wexford.
Excuse me. Yep.
2-1 Wexford.
What?
2-1 Wexford.
You may watch it on the stream yourself, lad. You're off commentary. You're not doing it.
That's all right. Right, UCD against Cork in the Prem.
In the what?
Premier Division.
Ah, yes, okay.
if UCD have any ambitions of mounting some sort of safety bid, this is a game they have to win, really. They're already getting cut adrift.
It is. Sorry, I was like, oh, these lads have already played, but we've actually had a round of games already.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, how sure Longford haven't played Wexford? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, they've played a couple of Monday night games.
Cork,
look.
Cork hammered UCD 4-0 down in the cross.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's 7 points of a gap already here between Cork and UCD. Cork is second bottom. They're the team directly above UCD. So if UCD want to have any chance, they need to win this. And it's very hard to predict that given how they're playing at the moment.
That game's on Friday.
Yeah.
My head into that, actually. Yeah, I think this has to be one that Andy Mitre has to target. He's like, he can't be in rooting around that now, because if they don't, particularly if they lose this.
Yeah, and a heavy beating too.
And a heavy beating, which, make no mistake, Cork are well capable of scoring a few goals here. And they had a good win at home against Dundalk.
Mm.
Still causing, you know, a pain in the hole for Dundalk all these years later. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to give UCD the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
Just it'll make, leave it interesting a bit or something.
Yeah, well.
Interesting might be a strong word.
The only thing that concerned me from a Cork point of view is, you know, their goal was the only shot on target they had against Dundalk the other night, on Monday night.
It was, but like, you know, you have two...
They were poor, Gary. Both teams were poor. It was a dreadful game.
Oh, it was a dreadful game. It was a dreadful game, but they won it.
Yeah, they won it, yeah.
You know, and they're expected to be down at the bottom. Sure, Jesus, you know, what do you want?
Yeah, but, you know, going away from home here, they're going to have to play a little bit better. You know, I'd be concerned about how many chances they can create. But one thing I mentioned against Dundalk, you know, they were very direct. They used the conditions well on the night, you know, using that win they had in the first half, get long balls in and put Dundalk under pressure. And I think if they go real direct against this Cork team, or sorry, against UCD, I think UCD might falter, to be honest. So I'm just going to go for a narrow Cork win. I think they'll win 1-0.
Can I just make one quick little point on that?
Yeah.
I think it's not going to be that handy, because I think UCD...
They've been terrible defensively in the last months.
Well, I think what I'm getting at is there a chance here that, like, they're going to go and try and might be playing less of a game than what Dundalk might have attempted in Turner's Cross the other night?
No, I think UCD will have to go for it. They have to go for it. Draw is no good, really.
Okay.
Even at this early stage. But I appreciate your point. No, I go 1-0 Cork. Edward, funny enough, goes 1-0 UCD. Interesting prediction from him there. Right, Bowes against Pats.
Another Dublin derby.
Yeah, I'll go first on this one, Gaz.
Thanks very much.
Haven't seen Pats last night. I still wasn't entirely convinced with them, to be honest. And you heard Tim there earlier. He said the one area of their game they probably really need to improve from the first series is their game management. And I totally agree, spot on there, because, as I said, they could have had that game killed off way earlier last night. And in the last few minutes, they kept giving the ball back to Drogheda, allowing them to get balls into the box, and they were almost punished for that. So I think Bowes buoyed off the back of that win against Derry, and the rest of players for that win against Derry. I think the likes of Afolabi will come back in here. I think Bowes at home fans behind them, I think they'll beat Pats. I'm going to go... and another thing, Redmond looked to pull his hammy last night for Pats. He's their best defender by a mile. I think Lewis looks very shaky for them at the back. And Mulroney got injured as well last night, so that's a big disaster for them if they're both out for a while. I'm going to go 3-1 Bowes.
Well, Mulroney got done as well.
Yeah, his didn't look as bad. I think he was kind of holding the outside of his hip or something, so maybe some sort of a tweak, but Redmond definitely pulled a hammy, so he's going to be out for a while, I'd say.
A hammy, okay.
Got a free kick for pulling the hammy. That's a new rule, apparently.
You go,
he was running along.
Oh, yeah.
The other player was running behind him, and it was like going to make a challenge.
Right.
Redmond then just pulled up. The hammy obviously went, and he fell to the floor, and the ref gave a free kick because he obviously just like seen your man falling and panicked on the whistle. Was like, oh, Jesus, a free kick.
Oh, God bless.
The ref was terrible last night. I'm sorry to say. He
right.
Didn't look up to it. Premier Division level, didn't look up to it.
Not great.
No.
But look it. Go on in here.
3-1 Bowes, as I said. 3-1 Bowes.
Right.
Edward goes 2-1 Bowes.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Bowes as well.
I would have gone 2-1 myself, but I think if Redmond's out, I think there's hay to be met there for Bowes.
There is.
Do you want to move on?
No, 2-1 Bowes. Yeah, I think Pats are Pats getting, you know, they're getting.
I'm still not convinced.
I'm not convinced, but I'll stick with you. I think
Drogheda were well below their best last night, and still maybe could have got something from the game. I go with the Bows win there. Right, Rovers against Shells. I think the Rovers steam train continues here. I'm going to go 2-0 to the Hoops.
I'm going to go 3. I was flicking between 3-1 and 2-0, but I think with the goals issue that Shells have,
yeah,
I don't think they're going to be able to lay a glove on the current Rovers side, like the way they're going at the moment.
They haven't conceded in the last three Rovers.
Well, there you go. And I don't think they're going to start conceding now on Friday either. 2-0.
Yep, 2-0 as well on my end. And Edward 2-1 to Rovers. Sligo against Drogheda. This is an interesting one. Sligo lost to Drogheda earlier in the season. Drogheda have a couple of injury issues themselves. I mentioned Markey. He's out at the moment. Evan Weir is out, but I think he could be close to a return. But this will be the third game in a week for them. Sligo at home. I'm probably just going to go for a Sligo win on the basis that they seem to win-lose, and they lost the last game, so they'll win this one. I go 1-0 Sligo.
Excuse me.
This is in the showgrounds.
Okay. Sligo, they lost 1-0 in the reverse, didn't they?
Yeah, the last 1-0 in the reverse one, yeah. And they were beaten, played off the park that night by Drogheda.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a narrow 1-0 Sligo win.
Okay.
I don't know, I have serious reservations about Sligo, and I've had done for so long, I don't think I'll be able to ever get rid of them.
Edward goes 0-0. Final game, Gary. This is on the Sunday now because there's some American lad coming to town tomorrow. Dundalk played Derry.
I thought you don't let him see Oriel Park anyway. Whatever he is, do. He'll think he's in some war torn part of the world.
Keep him out of that part of town.
Only referring to Oriel Park here, not the town itself. Well, I won't get into that. Dundalk and Derry, this used to have a bit of fireness to it. Now it's probably lost that, hasn't it?
No, I think there's still a bit of a bite in it, yeah.
Okay, it's your favourite team and your boyfriend is managing them, so who do you...
I know that I like Rory Higgins a lot, but look, there's no need to... I think Derry will bounce back here. I think there's more... I think the issues Derry have are easier solved than what Dundalk have at the moment. Now, that probably isn't right either, because as we said, these issues that Derry have in terms of too much possession, not enough chances, is going on a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got the options there to try things. Yeah. You know, if he feels that McGonagall's not at it, he can play Kavanagh, or he can play, who's his other striker he's got? He's got another option there anyway.
Kavanagh.
Well, he can play Kavanagh as well. He can.
What about Brandon Kavanagh? Was he? What's wrong with him? Is he injured?
He was on the bench the other night. But like he's got options there. I'm just looking at the subs from last night. So Brandon Kavanagh came on. McInniff, that's the other way I was trying to think of. So they can play McInniff up there. Play Keane Kavanagh up there. Got Brandon Kavanagh. You know, he's got options to change it and try different things. Whereas O'Donnell, I think, is a little bit limited with the squad. We mentioned at the start of the year, we're a bit concerned, light on numbers. Hooban came on the other night in Cork. Whether he's fit to start, I don't know. Even if he does start, he's not had a great start to the season. I think this is a really important game for Derry. They have to bounce back from consecutive defeats, and they can have no excuses about the pitch here, because they play on a pitch just as bad, if not worse, than this one. So I'm gonna go for a Derry win. I'll go 2-1 to Derry.
2-1 to Derry.
Edward goes 3-1 to Derry. And that's a Harps fan doing that, so he must be very certain.
I'm gonna go 1-0 Derry.
Yeah.
One thing I would like out of this game, no matter who, if particularly, all it'll only happen if Derry win, but put the pitch rubbish to the side. It's people lamenting about the pitch, and this is only on, you know, they win all their games.
It's amazing how the narrative though can change, isn't it? Because if you remember when Dundalk were dominating, people were saying Oriel Park's pitch is an advantage to Dundalk. When it clearly wasn't, it was a disadvantage. They played their best football in Europe when they were playing in Tala.
Yeah.
And now that Derry are not motoring, the pitch is an issue. Do you know what I mean? It's amazing the way people can suit their own agendas or whatever. But I agree with you. I said it earlier. The squad Derry have got, there's no excuses acceptable. They have to be up in the mix with Rovers this year. And, you know, a pitch at the end of the year isn't going to be an acceptable excuse.
No, that's right. It won't be. But yeah, I think it's a red herring of an excuse rather than, you know, a real excuse. I don't think it's really a runner. They need to change. They need to do something that's far more in their control than blaming the pitch.
Right, well, that is where we'll leave it. That's all the games covered. Lots of good previews there. Lots of good moaning from us as well. We're a bit sour about a few things this evening, but that's what makes the pod, Gaz.
Yeah, that's right. What are we sour about?
I don't know. We're just a bit narky this evening. It's late now. It's midnight here as we're wrapping up. So,
yeah.
Past our bedtime.
Burning the midnight oil, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think that Longford result really soured the two of us, particularly.
I said it to you when the third one went in. I turned to you. I said, I'm going to be sour for a month about this.
I think we're long past being sour about, holding on to poor results from Longford Town, or else we'd be a lot worse off. I think they need to grab a hold of it at some point. You can see the way games are going far earlier on than when the goals actually go in against us. So I think that has definitely added to our narkiness.
Definitely. Look, we'll leave it there because, as I said, I'm very mindful of not turning this into a 2-hour plus pod tonight. So to everyone that did persevere and make it through to the end of last week's show, massive thanks. And I hope you've enjoyed this week's show as well. We were brought to you in association with our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound lighting and AV solutions. But for myself, Kieran Burke, and the most popular podcaster in the League of Ireland, Gary Riley, a huge thanks for joining us this week. And we will speak to you again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.